Tonight, west winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southwest after midnight. Wind waves less than 2 feet, swell less than 2 feet, and patchy fog. On Sunday, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and a swell of less than 2 feet, and patchy fog again. And for current temperatures, we got 51 degrees in Salinas, 50 degrees in Watsonville, and 51 in Monterey. We're at 52 already here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 10:06 and 36 seconds on this Saturday, October 10th, 2009. Up next, we have the Saturday special. MZ is in the studio, and he's got a few guests, and we're going to be talking about needles, I think, or something like that. So,
needles. We're not going to talk about needles. We're going to talk about the condom exchange program.
Oh, okay, cool, rad. All right.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Okay, stand by. I'm calling. I'm calling our guest in New York.
Okay. Well, I was going to say KSCO Santa Cruz.
Nikki, it's so nice to see you back.
Yeah.
How in the world are you? Be
I'm
honest.
I'm doing good, actually.
Where in the world were you? Were you on a vacation?
No, I wasn't.
Were you sick?
No, I wasn't. I was doing some work for my parents up in Idaho. So I was working, and I was working for my family, which made it a little
work,
funner.
Work, yeah. work.
You know it.
Remember that line from the... No, you're not old enough to remember the... Well, you don't even know what I was going to say.
I know, but I can guess.
The Mel Brooks, you know, Mel Brooks movie, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay.
Hello, boys. Have you been... Well, never mind. we are going to have quite a program today. I think if we don't, I'm just going to have to profusely apologize to everybody.
I can call if you want me to.
Okay, good.
So I'll come in here and get the... Oh, you have your guest. Okay,
I have the guest already. Because I was so late and so busy that I decided there wasn't even time to give you the phone.
Yeah, you were going crazy.
I just crunched it up myself.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know, on KSCO Radio.
Welcome to the Saturday special all about the flu vaccines. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon today, with what we believe will be a very informative program. I've had a lot of questions about these vaccines myself, and I'm sure we're going to get the questions answered to the best of anyone's ability today, so do stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
It's unclear whether our government plans to force us to take the H1N1 vaccine, but if it does, so what? Well, some say this would set off a violent revolution in our country, and others say it's the only responsible way to deal with the possible pandemic. As a member of a high-risk group, I have taken the recommended regular flu shot each year for the last 20 years. I can say it's worked for me. Maybe it's mind over matter, but two things are for sure. One, nobody enjoys having the flu, and two, it's been more than 20 years since I've had the stinking flu, so I'm a believer in that vaccine. So why are so many freaking out about the H1N1? We are having the bleep scared out of us. We've reached out for two competent medical doctors to present opposing sides to the flu vaccine controversy. Vaccine opponent Dr. Stan Monteith will meet Dr. Poki Nam Kung of the Santa Cruz County Health Services Agency or some other competent physician in favor of flu vaccinations on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Putting Out the Straight Dope to our decidedly intelligent listeners radio, AM 1080 K. KSCO.
And it is, or will be, a competent physician. Not from Santa Cruz, not from anywhere near Santa Cruz. In fact, I've got to say that I have been absolutely blown away with how difficult it was to obtain a physician or a spokesperson who would speak in favor of the flu vaccine. Now, you wouldn't think this would be the case because probably 99% of the physicians in this country highly recommend it. So why doesn't anyone want to come on the radio? Can it be because the guest we have in the studio? No, it can't be. It can't be. Welcome, Dr. Stan Monteith.
Well, it's good to be with you. But actually, you know, polls have shown that about 67% of physicians are not going to take the H1N1 vaccine.
Are these the same ones who recommend it for their patients?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, of course, yeah, that's the standard of practice. So you're put into a position where you have to recommend it. It would be very difficult for, say, for an obstetrician to say to his patient, a pregnant woman, that you shouldn't take it. And yet I will tell you that there are a lot of obstetricians who have serious problems with this because there is no evidence that it's safe for children. In fact, the manufacturers say there is no evidence it's safe for children, and they recommend it being given, and yet the CDC is recommending it be given to every pregnant woman in America, and I think it's criminal when they do not know what effect it's going to have. And we know that that pregnancy, when you suddenly vaccinate in pregnancy, you cause a mild inflammation in the mother. But as far as the child is concerned, with any vaccine, say the regular seasonal flu vaccine, they're going to get a dose of mercury and aluminum where their child's mind is developing. It's potentially very dangerous. And many of these children will develop autism and schizophrenia later on. I see the way the H1N1 vaccine, we're giving that unborn child a dose of mercury that, of course, can have serious consequences on their mind and lead to a great epidemic of autism, which we already have. And the government says, we acknowledge now that 1 in 100 children is autistic in the United States. We don't know why it is, but we can guarantee it's not autism. And they're lying, and they know they're lying because we have their own words at the Simpson Wood meeting that was held in 2000, and we'd be glad to go into that later.
Okay, well, let me introduce our other guest today from Brooklyn, New York. Am I right, Dr. Cannato?
Yeah, I'm actually in Queens.
Oh, okay.
Right now, but I was trained in Brooklyn.
All right, I was just going by the 718 area code that I'm used to meeting Brooklyn, but I guess there's a little bit of Queens in there too, huh?
Yeah.
Dr. Lynn Naona Cunado, please forgive me if I've mispronounced your name.
Well, everyone pronounces it Cunado, but it's actually Cunado.
Oh, okay. I'll put a little squiggle there so I can remind myself. You are a 32-year-old physician from New York. You've received your pediatric medical training from Brooklyn, New York, and graduated in 2009, but you graduated medical school from the Philippines in 2001.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're married and have a 2-year-old son, and you will soon be starting your new practice in pediatrics in Maryland. So welcome to the Saturday special. So happy you were able to join us as a result of our good friend Charlie Friedman's lovely wife, Celeste, who heard the call yesterday for someone who would go on the air, because we do like all of our Saturday specials to have, particularly on controversial subjects, to have representations from both or even all sides. So thanks very much for going on with us. Now, so obviously you either have or will have your son vaccinated against the flu, I assume, right?
Yes, yes. My son was vaccinated first time last year for the seasonal flu, and right now I have to make my appointments with his doctor for the seasonal flu and the H1N1 shots, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, what little you've heard from Dr. Stan, have you ever heard anything like that before? This all new information to you, or?
I have heard of a lot of controversies with vaccines in general, and as well as the new H1N1 swine flu shot. Certainly there are a lot of controversies, and some are addressed by CDC, some will not be addressed by CDC, but certainly we will try to answer your questions as much as I can, and I certainly recommend the flu shot.
Okay, now, I've talked to many people over the years, and the controversy is not just beginning now. I mean, there's been a controversy. It seems to be hotter than ever right now with the H1N1. But for so many years, people I've talked to, even from high-risk groups, have said, no, I'm not taking the flu vaccine because it gives me the flu. It tends to give me the flu, and I don't want foreign unknown bodies introduced in my body, and so forth. And because I'm actually in two high-risk groups, as I understand it, as a lifelong asthmatic, pretty much with the asthma under control since I've been about a teenager. But nonetheless, I have a history of asthma. My physicians have always recommended that I take the flu shot. And more as I get older, more so than ever, because just about everybody who is over 55, 60 years old, as I understand it, is in a high-risk group as well. Also, I am a type 2 diabetic, pretty much have that under control as well. But because of the high-risk factor, it's been strongly advised to me by my physician that I take the annual flu vaccine, and of course it's been advised that I take the H1N1. I've been running a spot on KSCO that says I will not be taking the H1N1 because I don't trust it. And I'm worried about whether I should take the regular flu shot that I'm used to every year. So I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't want to put Dr. Stan on the spot. I don't want to put you, Dr. Cagnato, on the spot. But given what I've told you, and given if I were your patient, mm-hmm. would you feel comfortable advising me, given what I've just told you about me?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, what is this flu shot? The flu shot is just really either two. There are two types of the vaccines. The inactivated vaccine, which means it's a killed virus, the killed vaccine. And the other one is a live attenuated vaccine, which means it is weakened. Now, there are recommended groups for these two types of vaccines, but both are equally effective in giving to the patients. Now, there are certain recommended groups that has been advocated to be given to by the CDC, and these are the high-risk group. Now, the high-risk group just means that they either have a lot of comorbidities, which make them so susceptible to a very bad respiratory infection that would certainly lead to death, or they cannot mount a proper immune response that even with a simple influenza, they could have morbidities or even mortality with it. Or these are the very young babies who cannot even mount an antibody response, or the very old who are weakened or are susceptible to other comorbid or co-infections. Aside from the influenza, they can have co-infections with bacterial infections that could potentially turn into complications, which could result to mortality again. Okay. Now, I understand why there is hesitation among the public with the new vaccine. It just means that the new vaccine just targets a different type, a different strain of the influenza virus. Now, I don't know how much you've read with the influenza.
Not much. I haven't read all that much.
Yeah, but this is a very, very tricky virus, very intelligent. The reason why we get a flu shot every year, it is because the virus itself changes every year. So if you got a shot last year, it means that since this virus, the natural course, the natural development of this virus is to change the proteins around the virus. These proteins attach to our cells, the respiratory cells, and they infect our cells. They replicate, and that's how they cause disease. Now, the virus changes these proteins yearly, And that is why the CDC, and I don't know the geniuses behind this, they develop, they predict the vaccine that would probably counter.
And I thought that was always a shot in the dark. I mean, maybe that's wrong, but how do they know? How do they know what to target?
That is actually a good science. That I cannot tell you because I'm not an expert in that. But that is very, very true. Now, the mere fact that you were vaccinated for how long? From 20 years.
Yeah, about 20
years
now.
You've never had the flu means it is effective.
Yeah. No, I did get a last couple of years I've gotten, I don't know, probably a cold.
Yeah.
But I don't think I had a fever, and that by definition means I didn't have the flu, right?
Mind you, there are so many viruses out there, not just the influenza, that when the winter season starts, it's not just the influenza out there. So if you get a shot and you have a flu-like symptom after, it's not just the influenza virus that causes the flu. It's a lot of those viruses. Now, why are we particularly concerned with the influenza virus? It is because of its unpredictability, its tendency to have so much morbidities with it. That makes it a very important virus, a very significant virus to make vaccines against.
Well, I am actually, pardon me, leaning toward not taking either vaccine this year.
Yeah.
It would be the first time in, 20, maybe even 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't taken that I would not have taken the regular flu vaccine. What am I risking? I mean, do you think I could end up in the hospital and dead?
No. What the public don't understand is that the meaning of not of getting a shot does not say that you will not have a flu, that you will not get sick for the winter season, that you will not die, God forbid, from any other causes that could potentially become serious and is co-infected with the influenza. No, that it just means that these shots are being given to either prevent, not completely, because there's no vaccine that's 100%, but to decrease the intensity of the illness, to decrease the severity of the illness. So that if you do get a shot and you get a flu-like symptom or you get sick for the winter season, it's downgraded. It's decreased.
Isn't there something called Theraflu that's available over the counter without a prescription that can do just that? But, I mean, you got to trust that, too, I suppose.
Yeah, but these are, I think, just supportive measures. These are, I think... there are antiviral prescriptions out there that help attenuate, help weaken the symptoms, but not cure it. Now, there are, aside from the vaccines that would help in decreasing the incidence of the influenza or the H1N1, we also have the antiviral medications. Now, the antiviral medications, there must be a note of caution, even with the pediatricians or doctors giving it out because of the massive resistance coming out. But there are two quite effective antiviral medications out there that could be used in very severe illnesses.
Okay. Well, and of course, I haven't asked you if you are going to take the... both of them, or maybe you have already.
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I'm going to schedule it. As a healthcare worker, and it's quite sad, actually, because we are the main line in treating these people with H1N1, and we should, in fact, not propagate the disease, so we should be protected ourselves. And I think they're recommending, and they're making it strict right now, they're having strict regulations right now for healthcare workers to really be vaccinated.
Dr. Stan, you retired from medicine. Of course, you were an orthopedic surgeon, as I recall, for many years here in Santa Cruz County. And you retired, in the early 90s?
In the early 90s, right. But we've tried to keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on. And, of course, I was very much involved in trying to actually do something to bring public health measures to stop the AIDS epidemic. I spent 10 years in that battle until I found out that the public health establishment had no intention of using the effective public health measures that were required to stop this epidemic. So far, the public health establishment has effectively killed over 500,000 Americans. Another million Americans are infected and certainly
really
will die.
Words. And, now, why do you say that?
Well, very simply, because doctors know how to stop a sexually transmitted disease. I worked for 10 years within the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association. Eventually, I swung the doctors around to my position. We got a standing ovation from the House of Delegates of the CMA by putting forward a public health policy, was actually recommended by physicians here in Santa Cruz, some of whom were trained in public health. And it didn't matter what the doctors of the CMA or the AMA or doctors across America thought needed to be done, but we're getting onto a different subject. I'm simply pointing out that despite the fact that the doctors knew what needed to be done, it wasn't done then, it's not being done now. People are dying, you know, by the millions in Africa every year, and we're doing everything we can to block the implementation of the effective public health techniques that would prevent the spread of disease. And certainly I've become very, very concerned about this H1N1 propaganda campaign, because it is a propaganda campaign. We see it every night on television. It's designed to frighten people into going ahead and taking the shot that we're talking about, concern about children. Oh, we're so concerned about children. And yet, of course, we're risking the lives of millions of children. We've already destroyed the lives of millions of children. You mentioned you have allergy, you have asthma. Well, about 1 in 9 American children has asthma today. Never used to be like that. But they are victims of this very well-intentioned original concept of vaccinating to do away with disease. But what you do, you trick the immune system, you mobilize the immune system. In the Amish children, where they don't take the vaccines, they very seldom see asthma. Today, 1 in 9 American children has asthma. Certainly, one in recently announced within the last 2 weeks, 1 in 90 to 1 in 100 American children has autism. 30 years ago, it was 2.2 children per 10,000. Today, it's one in every 90 to 100. Predilection for boys, 1 in 60 to 70 boys. Their lives are destroyed. And, of course, you do not see this in the Amish children who do not take the vaccines. The whole purpose of vaccination is to trick the immune system, to alter the immune system, to think it's being challenged. But there's an old saying, you shouldn't try to mess with Mother Nature. And that's what we're doing. That's what this is all about.
So you're against all vaccinations, not just these flu vaccinations we're talking about on this program.
I think the polio vaccination was one of the great accomplishments of all time.
I was going to ask you, yeah. How do you decipher? I mean, why do you think that? I mean,
Because I lived during that era of polio. And I saw the tragic victims of polio. And when I went into orthopedics, we still had a lot of residual paralysis from polio there. And they used the normal technique. You see, basically, God gave us an immune system, and it's magnificent. We're surrounded in this room here by all sorts of bacteria. Certainly the animals have all sorts of viruses that we could get, but we don't get them because we have an immune system. And, of course, ordinarily you get your disease through your intestinal tract or through your upper respiratory infection. And there's an immune response, an acute immune response. There's a humoral response that involves creating antibodies. And we had 3 hours. We could discuss it. It's an amazing thing. And it goes through an acute stage and then a regulated stage. And then it supposedly cuts off ordinarily so you don't develop autoimmune disease. But what the vaccinologists have done was to trick the system. And
polio vaccine, right?
The polio vaccine was really ingenious. The problem with the polio vaccine is they grew the virus in a culture of the kidney, originally the rhesus monkey. And they found out that there was a cancer virus there. I mean, the polio vaccine is great, except the fact it had a cancer virus, something known as simian virus 40. And they infected countless millions of people in the United States and throughout the world with a cancer virus, and today people are still developing cancer from this. This is covered.
Has it been proven?
Oh, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's been proven. Dr. Carboni's work, there's a wonderful book, The Virus and the Vaccine. But you see, the vaccinologists and the medical establishment can't admit the truth. There's a wonderful book. It's called The Health Century. It's published under the auspices of the NIH, written by Dr. Edward Shorter, that tells this story. And they admit, we can't tell the public that we've contaminated them with a cancer-producing virus. They wouldn't trust us. And as a result, they've lied. They lied 50 years ago, and they're lying today about that.
But what are you saying? Earlier you said that the polio vaccine
was a good vaccine. It was a good vaccine.
And yet now there's some evidence that it contained a cancer-causing component?
Absolutely.
If
they developed it carefully, if they had checked this out before they rushed to market, but you see, basically everybody was rushing to market because they're talking about millions of dollars in those days. Today we're talking about billions of dollars with the current H1N1 vaccine. Why we're talking about the potential of billions of dollars. And if you look at the brochures, and I have them all spread out on the table here in front of me, as you can see. I mean, even the manufacturers will tell you that what the CDC is recommending is wrong as far as pregnant women are concerned and all the complications it can develop. For instance, with the nasal flu vaccine. But before we finish with the polio vaccine, if they'd done it right, it would have been wonderful. They did it. We've done away with polio, but at terrible expense in human suffering, because now we find the ependymomas and the meningioblastomas in children, and we find the mesotheliomas and the lymphomas and the bone tumors. And when they take them out and they check them, they have this simian virus 40 in them. But they cannot let the American people know, because we wouldn't trust them if they knew. And so they've suppressed this information from the doctors, but it's out there. Fortunately, we have the Internet, and I suggest a skeptic go on the Internet and look up simian virus 40. Read the book, The Virus and the Vaccine. Read Dr. Carboni's extensive work. He's a professor who's done the work on this. They've taken the tumors out. This virus, simian virus 40, produces cancer in every animal they inject with it. And yet it's in our human population, and there's no way to get it out.
Is that a component that accidentally got left in the vaccine?
Absolutely. It was just one of those terrible mistakes that they made, because they did not check it ahead of time. And they used the kidney of the rhesus monkey to grow the original polio virus back in the 1950s and 1960s. Without checking all those monkey viruses that they were injecting into the population. And the 40th one they found was simian virus 40, a cancer-producing virus, produces cancer in every animal it was injected into, just about, and we contaminated.
So how many years after the vaccine was used did this become apparent?
It takes 15 to 20 years for cancer to develop. But you see, it's being transferred now today from mothers to their children, and so children today will have antibodies to this virus, which they carry, that will kill them as a direct result of those vaccinations. The vaccine was great. It used the normal techniques, contrary to the H1N1 injected virus, which is designed to trick the immune system. And certainly the nasal flu vaccine already is using the normal way that they should be having vaccines work. The only trouble is this one is potentially dangerous. And if you read the information put out in the brochure by MedImmune, and I will tell you that probably there's not more than 1 in 1,000 pediatricians who's bothered to pick this up and read it, and I'm holding it in my hand here. I'll be glad to give you a copy and send one to the doctors. But we're talking about MedImmune. They're the ones that produces the flu mist that will be used here in America primarily.
That's a pharmaceutical company.
Right. And basically, they found that in first of all, in children 6 to 23 months of age, and is not going to be given, they recommended it, because 4. 2% of the children who took that had to be hospitalized. But of those 24 months to 59 months of age, which they are recommending it for, 2.1% of those children required hospitalization, and certainly 2.1% required bronchodilator treatment for wheezing. But they're not telling the pediatricians, or they're telling the mothers, that in that age group, I mean, 2.1% of the children require, in their study, required hospitalization. But they say, well, this wasn't so bad. Look at the placebo. In the placebo group, 3.8% required hospitalization. So 2.1%. Isn't that much. I should say the placebo was 2.5, the MedImmune was 2.1, but the placebo was another nasal mist that's going to be given. So basically they doctor these figures, the old saying, figures don't lie, but liars can figure, or lies, damn lies and statistics. Disraeli said that, Mark Twain said it, and it's so true today. You look at these studies and they're all doctored. For instance, for CSL, which is the IM vaccine that they're going to be given. And, of course, they list adverse reactions. One of them is headache. And, of course, in those people who got the vaccine, 8% had headache.
Well, if this is all true, so what? I mean, isn't it better to have a headache than to have the disease? Than to contract the disease, which could kill you.
Well, first of all, H1N1 is a very mild disease. Most people have the disease. They don't even know they have the disease. They did a study in Australia. You'll find it in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 10th of September. And it is the H1N1 adjuvanted vaccine. And you can look it up. And basically, they got a group of people together to give them the vaccine shots and to see whether they got an antibody response. What was significant about the test was that 39% of one of the groups that they tested had antibodies to the disease before they were vaccinated. In other words, they'd had the disease, they were immune to the disease, and the vaccination wasn't necessary. This was, of course, in Australia, and I would suspect we would find the same thing here. What they're not telling you is the epidemic is almost over. In other words, in New York City, they're getting
very few people.
It's all about money. They've got 230 million doses of this vaccine. What are they going to do about it? Dr. Lipstitz, who's a professor of public health at Harvard University, said, you know, this is a great vaccine. It's too bad they're not going to have it sooner because the epidemic's going to have peaked out before the vaccine is available. It is peaking out now in New York, Boston, the major European cities. They're having very few people come in because most of them have had the disease. They're immune to it. But the criminal act, on my thought, is the fact that the CD is recommending that our children, our very young children starting at 6 months of age, get two shots of this unnecessary vaccine, of the H1 vaccine, and two shots of the seasonal vaccine within 21 days. That gives them four doses of mercury, which they know is toxic, and we have their own report come. It's the Simpson
report. Why don't they just pull the mercury out?
Well, because they want to give it in. They leave it in because it acts to accentuate the impact of the vaccine. They use it. They say it's in there as a bactericidal agent. In other words, it makes it safe in multiple dose vials. But there already are people who have a different worldview. They know that mercury is very effective in destroying fertility. For instance, you study male sperm count across the world. It's gone down 50%, all around the world. And, of course, one of the things that will do that is mercury. And there really are people who have a different worldview. They believe there are too many people in the world. And I believe one of the agendas besides money and the fact that the CDC can't admit that they've got this vaccine unnecessarily, 230 million doses of it. They've got to get rid of it some way. They're using the major media to frighten people into taking a potentially dangerous vaccine because an awful lot of children are going to get autism from this. That much mercury in a short period of time, along with two doses of aluminum, and most people don't understand, they're high doses of aluminum. and the vaccines, and that has an impact on the brain, and then combined with mercury and aluminum, and then the fluoride in the water. And that is why, in my estimation, 1 in 90 to 100 children today in America is autistic, and we can go through all the other problems that have resulted as a direct result of vaccines, and we'll be glad to discuss that. But, you know, certainly I don't want to hog the program, but I mean, if we could talk for 3 hours on the potential dangers of this program. It is unconscionable. It is unnecessary because most people will have contracted this disease and are immune today, which is we're seeing represented in New York and Boston along the East Coast, and certainly here in California, why, you know, it'll be peaking out and be over here in another couple of weeks before the IM shots are available. But they're going to give them anyway. Just what they ought to do, if they really wanted to know, would be to do an antibody study, and then find the majority of people are already immune to the disease. And immunization, in other words, giving them another jolt, and they're using everything they can to stimulate the immune system, is going to do irreparable damage, because you don't want to vaccinate somebody for a disease that they already have lifelong immunity to.
Wow.
And you don't get lifelong immunity with the artificial vaccination process. You're trying to trick Mother Nature. And so when you give regular vaccines, why you do not get lifelong immunity as you would if you got the disease normally. And certainly the incidence of childhood disease has fallen dramatically before we started vaccinations. It's amazing what they've accomplished, but at what cost?
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Stan Monteith. Now, Dr. Lynn Cugnato. That was a lot of information there. Do you have a response here
Well, it is true. He says that the doctor said that most of the H1N1 are mild illnesses. Yes, majority of them. Yes, but the vaccine targets those, not the mild illnesses, but those with a severity of disease, the most complicated disease that would result to mortality. If I had a child, if my kid was going to be 1 in 100,000 who was going to end up with complications, I don't know how, or I don't know why, or I don't know when, but I would rather have the security that my kid will at least have a lesser form of the disease if he gets the H1N1.
Yeah, I guess that's what it all boils down to.
But if your child had that chance of being 1 of 90 to 100 children who's going to be autistic, who had their mind wiped out, would you be willing to gamble 1 in 100,000 against 1 in 100? Because there is an epidemic of autism in the United States today, and we do not see it among children who are not vaccinated, and we know that the CDC knows that. So if I had the chance of gambling 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 100, I would sure take the 1 in 100,000 rather than 100 for my child or for the children of America, wouldn't you?
That's true. But if that were true, I would not gamble. You see, I don't believe that vaccines cause autism. I'm sorry, I do not. Now, there's so many studies, medically proven, randomized controlled studies, that do support the safety of vaccines, especially MMR. Now, these vaccines, I would not even subject my child if it were that risky. I have a 2-year-old son. This is my only son. And I would never think of giving him anything that would potentially cause the neurologic damage. No. It is even, I have a very personal experience with this because my husband, who's non-medical, actually was against vaccination. And I had a lot of hard times, difficulties convincing him, and proven to the fact that my son did not get it is a mere evidence, a good evidence that it is not and it does not cause. Now, I'm not denying that the rise of autism is quite significant here in this country. It is true. And as to the cause of the autism, it's probably multifactorial. I would not say
more,
that.
More what? I'm sorry.
Multifactorial, a lot of factors.
Uh-huh.
You have to take into account that if you look at these families with autistic kids or families with autistic descent or heredity of autism, you look at their genetic background, you look at their comorbidities, you look at the time when in and around the baby was born, you look at the time of development of these kids, so many factors. Yes, a lot of agents outside out there could potentially harm a lot. Certainly a lot of studies have been found to support carcinogens in our food, in microwavable things, in and around us. Everything, there's a lot of potential dangers out there. But I honestly and firmly believe, I'm not saying this as a doctor, I'm saying this now as a mother. And given the amount of information out there that supports the safety of the vaccine to give to children or to older people or to high-risk groups, I would stand by it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Lynn Neona-Cunyado. Our guest in favor of flu vaccinations here on the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ with Dr. Cunyado and Dr. Monteith, who holds a different point of view. And we're going to be opening the phone lines a little bit after we take a commercial break. So, Nikki, take it away. We will be back right after this commercial break. Stay with us.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Interfacing an HPLC with a mass spectrometer.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar-powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances.
When you want to make a house your home, take the short trip to Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliance in Watsonville. Hello, I'm David Baker, the family-owned Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances. We are the oldest family-owned furniture store and appliance store in Santa Cruz County, serving you for over 40 years from one location. At our 14,000 square foot showroom, you'll find nice people, quality furniture and appliances at affordable prices. Next day delivery and professional service that will make your furniture and appliance shopping an enjoyable experience. And here's the best part. Baker Brothers is an old world company that steals business from the discounters.
Baker Brothers, we make it easy.
There is no doubt about it. It's time to get down to business with SCORE, SBDC, Santa Cruz County Bank, and KSCO. Hello, I'm David Heald, President and CEO of Santa Cruz County Bank.
And I'm Sandy Eason, Executive Vice President of Santa Cruz County Bank. Each weekday on KSCO's morning and afternoon commute programs, you will hear small business tips voiced by Teresa Tomei and staff from the Central Coast Small Business Development Center.
And each Tuesday on KSCO's morning and afternoon commute programs, you will hear small business questions and answers from the counselors of SCORE.
If you have a small business question you would like answered, email Michael Olson at mo@ksco.com. And SCORE will find the right answer for you.
It's time to get down to business, and the best place to start is with SCORE and SBDC on KSCO's morning and afternoon commute programs.
Brought to you by Santa Cruz County Bank. Put your money where your life is. Santa Cruz County Bank, member FDIC, and Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special on flu vaccinations. Special guest, Dr. Stan Monteith, an opponent of flu vaccinations, and special guest, Dr. Lynn Nayona Cunyado, who is a pediatrician from the state of New York, who will soon be opening a practice in Maryland very shortly. We're going to open up the phone lines now. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. That's in area 831. It'll connect you to your favorite radio station where you can go on the air with us and ask a question to Dr. Monteith or to Dr. Cunyado or make a statement here. It's all about vaccinations today on the Saturday special. Let's go to our first caller. That would be Dave in Aromas. Dave, thanks for waiting. You're on the Saturday special.
Well, thanks, and thanks, Dr. Stan, for reviewing the evidence about the 9/11 attack and finally coming to the realization of what happened. Hey, I'd like to say about this vaccine thing to the lady that's defending the use of it. A while back, this foundation, Natural Health Foundation, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but they just filed a lawsuit. And just a quick paragraph, it'll take about 3 seconds to read. The foundation's court complaint alleges that the government failed to follow its own rules and applicable legislation in rushing to vaccine approvals in the absence of any requisite minimum scientifically sound and appropriate testing for both safety and effectiveness as the law required by law since 1964. So I'd like to ask you, doctor, where is the research? Where are the findings here? The article goes on. They have done this without the proper research. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah, doctor, you're asking Dr. Cunyado?
Yes, the lawsuit that says that the government failed to follow its own rules in rushing this vaccine onto the market without the requisite minimum scientific.
Okay, yeah, we got that. Dr.
Right.
Cunyado, are you there?
What's the response?
Yes, I'm here. I'm not familiar with this particular lawsuit, but there are certainly...
Dave, let her talk, please.
Okay.
Please be courteous.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of studies that would support the safety of this, and we can review this in the CDC website.
Here's Dr. Monteith.
What are those studies? Could you tell me? Could you listen? Because basically, the papers that were used to justify the use of the vaccine were the two papers that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 10th of September. I'm sure you've reviewed them. They were the Australian studies, one on the adjuvanted and the unadjuvanted vaccine, and they were three-week studies. Where are the long-term results? They say there's no, there are no long-term results. If you read what the vaccine manufacturers say, there are no studies, animal studies, that show this is safe for to be given to pregnant women. If there are no studies that show it's safe.
How can there ever be any long-term results in something that is a vaccine that's produced to deal with something new?
Absolutely, and that's the danger of giving it. That's why we got into trouble with the polio vaccine. They rushed to market with a product. We're talking about, well, in those days, millions of dollars. Today, billions of dollars. They rushed the product to market. We're talking about, here in the United States, $8 to $10 billion worldwide, $40 to $50 billion. They rushed it to market without doing adequate studies. And they're risking the lives of unborn children. And to give an untested vaccine to pregnant women and to infants starting at 6 months of age, and not one but four shots, two of these, one and one.
Quickly,
and
Dr. Stan, yep. A caller asks, what are the dangers of the vaccine for pregnant women? What are specifically? As quickly as you can.
It would be miscarriage. And they're anticipating it because the government has come out with a report. It was recently published in the New York Times saying, well, just because women are going to miscarriage after the vaccine doesn't mean that the vaccine caused the miscarriage. After all, women miscarriage all the time, and they're going to be people with Guillain-Barré disease after the vaccine. But that doesn't mean the vaccine caused Guillain-Barré disease. Why, lots of people get Guillain-Barré disease, and people are going to die, but that doesn't mean that, that just because they took the shot and died. So they know they're going to be this, and they're preparing the people for all the complications. But even more than that, of course, it's the long-term damage done from vaccination in pregnant women. That is the criminal part of this, because, you see, down the line, those children will become autistic. Some of them later on in life will become schizophrenic. And there are studies that show that vaccination of pregnant women harms the mind of the unborn child. That is what's so unconscionable and criminal about this.
Let's move on to our next caller, Karen in Capitola. Welcome to the Saturday special, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I was a special ed teacher for 26 years, and I taught when I started teaching many, many years ago, we didn't have autistic children, or at least I certainly don't remember them. So I taught for a while. I had my children, and then I went back into teaching in the 80s, and I was floored by the amount of special ed children and autistic classes. It just was amazing. I am a senior, and I could get a job anywhere because I'm a special ed person. It's just amazing. My issue, the thing that was the hardest for me during those years of teaching were the parent conferences. And the parents would come in and, we'd have two a year. And the ones with the autistic children would say, I had this perfectly beautiful child. And when we went in for his two-year, vaccinations, whatever they were, he came back, and the next morning he couldn't say mommy anymore. And that just, just saying it right now just breaks my heart. And I think of Dr. Kenyatta's little beautiful two-year-old, and I'm thinking, why must you vaccinate? Why must you stick this darling, beautiful child? At least wait, a few years. He'll be fine, or she'll be fine, But anyway, so as a special ed teacher, I've seen, behind the scenes, and it's just heartbreaking.
Maybe Dr. Kenyatta would like to answer you.
Okay. Yeah, I do understand this hesitation about the new vaccines, and there are NIH-funded studies right now supporting the single-dose effectiveness of the vaccine of H1N1. I will probably give you a link in your website for this. If I were, the autism screening starts about 18 months and above, and that's around the same time when the MMR shot is given. And just because the MMR shot was preceded the onset of symptoms of autism does not necessarily mean that the shot was the cause of the autism. And this is usually what happens, is that there's a cause and effect chronology happening in the relationship of vaccines and the development of autism. And I feel badly for that case that you said, that the lady said about the two-year-old not talking. But there are
actually
so
many, many cases. Yeah, right. It was too many cases.
Yeah, I understand. Bad. There are so many cases that would not point to MMR. These cases cannot directly link, which means that there is no direct correlation that would say this, the autism happened solely because of the vaccine. Not one case.
Well, wait just a moment now. This is thousands of parents tell the same story. My child was completely normal until I went in. I mean, they were 2 years old, taking all the normal steps of development, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of parents have the same story.
Excuse
My
me,
child
Stan,
was completely completely normal until they had the shot, and the next day, that had changed.
Hate to do this. Everybody who's on hold, stay on. We will get to you next hour. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. As President Obama deliberates with his war council over his next moves in the Afghanistan war, one entire top-level session this week was given over to discussion of Pakistan and the relative instability in the nuclear-armed ally next door to Afghanistan, where many Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants are holed up. Now, as if to underscore that instability, militants have struck at the heart of Pakistan's security apparatus, its army headquarters.
There was a brazen attack on gate number one of the GHQ. A small van pulled up, men with assault rifles and grenades opened fire on that gate. Four were killed there. They killed four Pakistani soldiers.
Fox's Scott Heidler in Islamabad. The attack taking place in Rawalpindi. The militants now said to be holding as many as 15 soldiers hostage inside the headquarters building. 10 people dead altogether thus far. Another meeting in Jerusalem tomorrow between U.S. Mideast envoy George Mitchell, the former Senate Majority Leader, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This as the players in the region absorb the implications of President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize efforts to restart peace talks.
Nobel Prize winner and President of Israel Shimon Peres said he is happy the Nobel Prize Committee chose to honor the most unusual and far-reaching impact of President Obama's leadership by awarding him the prize. Other leaders issue standard messages of congratulations to the U.S. President. Hamas said President Obama does not deserve the award. Their Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh said without a change in what he called unfair U.S. support of Israel, the award will not move peace forward or backward. In Jerusalem, Mike Tobin, Fox News Radio.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in globe-trotting mode, currently on a five-day trip to Europe, where she'll be making stops in Switzerland, Britain, Ireland, and Russia. In Zurich, Switzerland, she's on hand to witness the signing of an accord that will reestablish diplomatic ties between Turkey and Armenia. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore.
Encore. Trace Atkins is a big fan of the radio show, Brian and the Judge. Am I right, Trace?
Big fan of the Judge. Big Judge fan.
Yeah. I got it.
Let's talk about this. Do you have, like, a Twitter site and a Facebook site and all that stuff?
I do. I don't do it. Somebody, but I have one.
You're Trace Atkins. You got people.
I don't know how. I don't want to.
There's a Facebook game called Al-Qaeda Wars where apparently you can go after, you know, this is one of those things where you can be a terrorist and you can blow up the Eiffel Towers and a bunch of iconic stuff around the world. You know, some people are saying, why are we doing that?
I don't get into too much of that stuff. I do pay attention to what my children, my little girls are doing. I would be concerned. I bet I would be if one of my kids was playing that. But if you were playing it, I wouldn't be worried about it.
We're done raising Steve.
Yeah.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
The Keystone State pulling its financial act together a long time, though, after it was supposed to.
Pennsylvania finally got it done.
This is a good budget, a responsible budget for the people of Pennsylvania.
Governor Ed Rendell signing the agreements, cutting spending by more than 1%. But Rendell is not forgetting how long it took. It came months after the budget deadline passed, and it was the last state to finish one.
There's no excuse for us having put the people of Pennsylvania, many of whom depend desperately upon the services we provide, to have put them through over 3 months of waiting for a budget.
It took more than 100 days to end a stalemate. The main budget costs almost $28 billion with a $1.5 billion companion bill. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
If you're following the Philadelphia Phillies-Colorado Rockies National League playoffs, be aware there will not be a game tonight in Denver after all. Too cold, and there's snow on the ground at Coors Field, too. So with the teams tied at one game apiece, Game 3 is being rescheduled for tomorrow night, Game 4 being pushed back to Monday. The lawyers for an Oscar-winning film director who's currently cooling his heels in a Swiss jail on a fugitive warrant stemming from his 1978 flight from the U.S. are doing everything they can to keep him from being sent back to the U.S.
The case that lawyers for Roman Polanski are making is not in a courtroom, but the U.S. Justice Department. The L.A. Times said they've lobbied federal officials, including a deputy assistant AG, presenting arguments against extraditing Polanski to the U.S. to face sentencing on a statutory rape charge. But a formal extradition request is precisely what the LADA is preparing. They say Polanski's lawyers can talk to the feds all they want, but it won't change a thing. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Veteran defense attorney Raymond A. Brown has died. Among his more high-profile clients, the former boxer Reuben Hurricane Carter and Black Liberation Army member Joanne Chesimard. His son says Brown was dedicated to defending the defenseless, quote, people who are drug addicts, people who are down on their luck, people who had done dumb things. Raymond Brown was 92. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your Central Coast forecast for this weekend. Today's going to be partly cloudy, high of 69, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy with a low of 47 and light winds. On Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 65, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 feet at 9 seconds, and patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southwest after midnight, wind waves less than 2 feet, and a swell that is about 2 feet. On Sunday, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and less than 2 feet swell, patchy fog as well. Current temperatures, let's see here, we got 51 degrees in Watsonville, 52 in Monterey, and 51 in Salinas. We're also at 52 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. And the official time is 11:06 and 27 seconds on this Saturday, October 10th, 2009. Up next, second hour, Saturday special, KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
So, Nikki, do you have any questions about the flu vaccine? Are you worried about taking it or not taking it, or don't you care?
I won't take it.
You're not going to take it?
I'll leave the country if they make all of us take it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we haven't even talked about the government forcing people to take it yet.
Oh, well, that's going to happen, probably.
You think so?
Yeah, wow. Well, it looks like it, the way that, I don't know. In the near future, possibly.
Well, hold on a second. Let's ask Dr. Cagnato about that before we officially start hour number two. Dr. Cagnato, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry.
Right to say no to the vaccines. You're not going to be forced to have it.
You're not going to be forced to have it. Now, you can't hear Nikki, but she can hear you, I think.
Okay.
So relax, Nikki. If Dr. Cagnato was right, it would be a big mistake for the government to mandate that everybody take that.
It is still a choice. The right to treatment and the right to accept treatment is still a choice made by you as long as you are competent to do it. Yes.
And let me ask you, if it somehow became not a choice, how would you feel about that, Dr. Cagnato?
What do you mean, that they enforce it?
Yeah, no, that the government decided that everybody shall take
H1N1
virus.
No, I think that would be a wrong move by the government.
Oh, and good.
That would
I'm
completely
happy you said
eliminate
that.
The freedom.
Right.
By
okay.
the people, no.
Right.
I'm sure they're not going to do that.
Okay, good. Hope you're right, because there's a lot of people who are afraid that they will do just that. So stand by. We will start the hour number two of the Saturday special officially by playing the hour number two opening music.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday flu vaccine special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We will be on the air till noontime.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
We do have a brand new case commentary to present. We will do that before we get back into the caller section of the program. I will also inform you all that if you want to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ZBSBoss. One word, ZBSBOSS. And check out the latest edition. Really interesting. We had Neil Goldberg. Neil Goldberg on the Corey Gold program that I hosted the other day, maybe two, three weeks ago. And he was out in front of the very busy corner of 41st Avenue and Portola, 41st Avenue and Capitola Road in front of the Bank of America with a great big sign just about every day this week that says, "Where's the money? Where's the money?" This guy's got a lot of guts here, and I shot a little 2-minute video of him and just uploaded it from my iPhone to YouTube, to my ZBS Boss YouTube channel today. So if you get some time, it's very, very good. It's worthwhile. I mean, he could go somewhere. I mean, I'd like to see someone like this go up against Barbara Boxer, which is what he plans to do. Sounds crazy, but stranger things have happened, you know. So, okay, let's spend a few minutes here with the world premiere of Kay's commentary, and we will be back with Mike in Santa Cruz and Rich in Hollister and whoever else is on the phone with us here on the Saturday special. Dr. Lynn Nayona Cunyado and Dr. Stan Monteith, along with MZ on the Saturday flu vaccine special.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This little gem has been floating around for a while. It's called Sack Lunches. I put my carry-on in the luggage compartment and sat down in my assigned seat. It was going to be a long flight. Just before takeoff, a line of soldiers came down the aisle and filled all the vacant seats surrounding me. I decided to start a conversation. "Where are you guys headed?" I asked the soldier seated next to me. "Petawawa. We will be there for 2 weeks for special training, and then we're being deployed to Afghanistan." After flying for about an hour, an announcement was made that sack lunches were available for $5. It would be several hours before we reached the East, and I decided a lunch would help pass the time. I overheard a soldier ask his buddy if he planned to buy lunch. "Now, that seems like a lot of money for just a sack lunch. Probably would not be worth $5, he said. "I'll wait till we get to the base," and his friend agreed. I looked around at the other soldiers. None were buying lunch. I walked to the back of the plane and handed the flight attendant a $50 bill. "Take a lunch to all those soldiers," I said. She grabbed my arms and squeezed tightly. Her eyes wet with tears, she thanked me, saying, "My son is a soldier in Iraq. It's almost like you're doing it for him." Picking up 10 sacks, she headed up the aisle to where the soldiers were seated. She stopped at my seat and asked, "Which do you like, chicken or beef?" "Chicken," I replied, wondering why she asked. She turned and went to the front of the plane, returning a minute later with a dinner plate from first class. "This is your thanks," she said. After we finished eating, I went again to the back of the plane, heading for the restroom. A man stopped me. "I saw what you did," he said. "I want to be part of it. Here, take this." He handed me $25. Soon after I returned to my seat, I saw the flight captain coming down the aisle. When he got to my row, he stopped, smiled, held out his hand, and said, "I want to shake your hand." Quickly unfastening my seatbelt, I stood and shook the captain's hand. With a booming voice, he said, "I was a soldier, and I was a military pilot. Once someone bought me a lunch. It was an act of kindness I never forgot." I was embarrassed when applause was heard from all of the passengers. Later, I walked to the front of the plane so I could stretch my legs. A man who was seated about 6 rows in front of me reached out his hand, wanting to shake mine. He left another $25 in my palm. When we landed, I gathered my belongings and started to deplane. A man stopped me, put something in my shirt pocket, turned and walked away without saying a word. Another $25. Upon entering the terminal, I saw the soldiers gathering for their trip to the base. I walked over to them and handed them $75. "It will take you some time to reach the base," I said. "It will be about time for a sandwich. God bless you all." 10 young men left that flight, feeling the love and respect of their fellow travelers. As I walked to my car, I whispered a prayer for their safe return. These soldiers have given their all for our country. I could only give them a couple of meals. It seemed so little. A veteran is someone who, at one point in his life, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for the amount of up to and including his life. That is honor. And there are way too many people in this country who no longer understand that. And it's so sad. May you have the strength and courage to pass this along to everyone you know. And kudos to you, David Dunworth, for sharing this beautiful little jewel with us. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. If you want to give us a call, the phone number is 479-1080. In area 831, the email address is mz@ksco.com. Gee, I haven't brought my email up. I'll have to do that now. Our guest today, speaking in favor of flu vaccines, both of them, is Dr. Lynn Nayona Cunyado. She is in New York and via telephone. And we have in the studio here, speaking against both flu vaccines, is Dr. Stan Monteith, a frequent host and guest here on KSCO Radio. Dr. Stan is always a delight to have in. Got a tremendous amount of information. And this is a topic that is of interest to all of us. So we're happy that you've tuned in to the Saturday special. And we hope you will stay with us right up until the end of the program today, after which we have Perspectives, which is another worthwhile program that you should stay tuned for here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080. KSCO. So let's bring back Dr. Cunyado and lock her in, and then take our next caller, Rich in Hollister. Rich, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Thanks. Great topic here. I called the CDC 2 weeks ago and asked them if they knew what ingredients were in the H1N1 shot, and they could not tell me all the ingredients. The only thing they told me was it had thimerosal, and it was cultured from chicken eggs. But they searched on their website, their links. They had absolutely no clue as to what was in it. So I asked the question. I said, well, how can doctors recommend you get the shot if you don't even know what's in it? And I just would like to hear their comments, please.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
That's true. You know, there's a this is actually one of the weaker points by doctors out there who are advocating the shots. Is they do have to know the components of it. What is what should be taught to parents is that every time you go to an appointment with a doctor for the vaccines of your children, you have to ask these components. I do not memorize these components. I can look it up for you. But it is not – it's hard to find in the CDC website, but we can find it in our books. But it is a component that is very safe. It will not be in a vaccine right now, much as there are issues of mercury, issues of thimerosal. Thimerosal was removed from these vaccines a few years ago when they realized that. Now, I will not be able to defend why it was there, but I'm pretty much sure that – the components in the vaccines right now are pretty safe. And it will not even be given to children such as my child if it wasn't safe.
Well, I would point out that the a vaccine, both the seasonal flu vaccine and the H1N1 vaccine will contain thimerosal. They are lying. They play word games. They say, well, a thimerosal has been removed from the childhood vaccines, and that is true, but they've left it in the vaccines that are given to children. And so they play these word games, and they're destroying the minds of our children. The vaccine will contain 0.25 micrograms of thimerosal in every shot. And, of course, the seasonal flu vaccine will contain the thimerosal and the aluminum. And if you want to find out what exactly is in the influenza vaccine, go to Dr. Blaylock's website, russellblaylockmd.com. RussellBlaylockMD.com, or you can call me at my 800 number, 800-544-8927. We'll get to the components of it. But every shot of the H1N1 vaccine and every shot of the seasonal flu vaccine contains thimerosal, and the fact that most pediatricians, in fact, almost none of them know that, simply reflects the degree of confusion that exists today. Now, you can get, specifically request the vaccine that does not contain thimerosal. The individual shots will not contain it. That will be about a third of the quarter of the vaccine. All the rest will contain thimerosal, and most doctors have no idea what they're giving.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
How about that connection between the Baxter Vaccine Corporation and those ferrets that died when they were injected with the H1N1 vaccine? Can you comment on that? And I'll take that off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. So who's going to comment? I'm sorry here. I was looking.
What was the question? I didn't quite hear it.
It was about the Baxter vaccine that was contaminated with the he said H1N1, but it was the seasonal Baxter vaccine that was to be given in Europe. And, of course, it was checked by the people in Czechoslovakia. They found out they injected into ferrets, and they all died. They actually then evaluated the vaccine. They found it had the deadly avian bird flu a virus in it. They had a live bird flu virus. It would have killed millions of people. This is within the last 2 months, and you can check it out on the Internet, and I know how busy you are, Doctor, and especially when you have a two-year-old. But really, go up on the Internet and check out the story, the Baxter seasonal flu or Baxter influenza vaccine, avian flu virus. They would have killed millions of people 2 months ago because they just accidentally added it to the vaccine, seasonal flu vaccine, was going to be given to millions of people in Europe. And when Baxter was asked why that happened, they said, "Oh shucks, we just don't know how it got from our high security laboratory into the vaccine that was going to be given to millions of people." But please check that out. And I know how busy you are, and I know that you believe in what you're saying. All doctors do. No doctor would intentionally, or at least very few doctors, would intentionally want to hurt their patients. But unfortunately, you depend on the CDC, you depend on your pediatric association, and there are people there who have an agenda, may very well be money. We're talking about billions of dollars at stake with these vaccine programs. These deadly programs.
Okay. You're listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station and mine, AM 1080 KSCO. And we are talking vaccinations, flu vaccinations. Today, our next caller to 479-1080 is going to be Mike in Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on.
Hi. Yeah.
Hey.
I'm not real reassured when the doctor says that she's pretty sure that most of the vaccines are pretty safe.
Well, luckily, there's no. It's okay if you haven't.
Okay.
It's okay if you're not sure because you don't have to take it. At least that's my understanding
so far.
Now.
So far, okay. Another thing is there's a certain percentage of people who take this vaccine, this flu vaccine, not this H1N1, but every year. A whole bunch of people who take the vaccine still get sick. So it seems to me like if you get a vaccine, it should keep you from getting it. Most of the people that I know, well, not most, but probably half the people I know every year who get a flu shot get really sick. And are you there?
We are now. You must be on a cell phone.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to know what percentage of the people who die every year from the flu have taken the vaccine.
Good question. I wonder who has that data. Do you know, Dr. Cagnato?
I don't have that data, but that's pretty.
Have you heard Dr. Stan?
Pretty small, I think.
Uh-huh. I don't want to comment. I really don't. I'm not certain. I would be suspicious that there would be a significant number, but I really don't know.
Okay, let's go to our next caller, Marcella in Salinas. You're on KSCO on the Saturday special. Go.
Hi, MZ.
Hey. Hi,
I just came from a conference last week, and Dr. Stan was there, National Vaccine Information Center, and there was nurse after nurse after nurse saying that they were going to be fired if they did not take the H1N1 swine flu vaccine or the influenza flu shot. So
they're going to be fine? They're going to be fine if they don't take it?
No, they're going to be fired.
Oh, fired. Okay.
Fired.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Another thing. Also, can someone speak about the squalene? I heard the H1N1 will have this oil adjuvant squalene. It's going to be four times the amount that was given to the Gulf War soldiers that resulted in death and crippling diseases and seizures. That's going to be in the H1N1. Any comments about that, Dr. Cagnato?
Yeah, the comment on the, you know, forcing the healthcare workers, it is recommended. It is strongly recommended. I don't know about firing them, though. I'm not pretty sure about
that. It's a big news story about that. We were talking about that on one of our talk shows this week. And on the board here, Nikki has written, I don't know where you got this off the internet, perhaps, Nikki. New York is going to soon be voting on whether to mandate the vaccine or lose your job, or voting on whether they can, whether an employer may do that, I guess. So you don't know anything about that, huh, Dr. Cagnato?
Yeah, certainly when I left the hospital after my training, they certainly mandated everyone to have their shots. However, if they have reasons for refusal, the Infectious Control Committee will address this refusal and try to see and convince them still. But I don't know about firing them, though.
Okay.
I cannot comment on that.
Marcella, quickly.
Okay. Her child is only 2 years old. The average age of the child who is diagnosed with autism is 3. So her child is not out of the woods, especially if she plans to give him the swine flu and the influenza flu shot. That's 100 micrograms of thimerosal and aluminum and a huge viral load. So, and it might not even be autism. It might be ADHD. It might be diabetes. It might be asthma, you know, or SID, which is the worst case scenario. 53,000 toddlers in this country die before they reach the age of 5. We have the worst infant mortality rate of most industrial countries.
Marcella, you speak from experience. Do are you or are you not a healthcare worker? I don't think you are. Am I right?
You're not
a healthcare worker, but you do speak from experience. You want to tell Dr. Cagnato and Dr. Monteith and our entire KSTO audience
why? Okay, well, I don't want to make this personal, but I have 2 vaccine-injured children. One is severely brain damaged from his vaccines. What is incredible is my oldest son has Asperger's, so he's relatively mild, and that takes maybe till 8 or 9 or 10 to even diagnose Asperger's. Severe autism can be diagnosed at about 3 years of age. Now, my older son has a lot of contraindications to vaccines, which I told the doctor that we had a history of epilepsy, one uncle, asthma, allergies, and the doctor dismissed it. After my oldest son had reaction to the pertussis shot, he had high-pitched screaming. We had an emergency visit. That was dismissed. Over 90% of vaccine reactions are dismissed. They're supposed to, legally, their doctors are bound to report them. Over 90% do not report them. There's a vaccine adverse event reaction reporting system. And even if something is reported, nothing is done with the information. Dr. Cagnato mentioned it is genetic. I have no uncles or no grandparents or brothers or sisters with any autism. It's all thimerosal generation. those born late 80s or early 90s that got huge amounts of Cymera. So I'm tired of hearing about genetics. The only genetic thing is these kids were more susceptible to vaccine damage. But if they had not been shot up with mercury, aluminum, viruses, it would not have happened. Why don't they don't study the Amish? At this conference, one of the presenters said, we're going to gather our own money to prove, to do true controlled studies between vaccinated versus unvaccinated. They say they can't. The CDC says they can't do that. There's a huge clinic hospital in Chicago where they've never.
Okay, I think we're losing.
Could I comment on that call?
Don't tell the truth.
Could I comment that a lot of children can handle the mercury? In other words, they're not going to get a reaction to it. It is just that there are certain children who do not have the ability to excrete the mercury. It gets into their brains. And that's why not every child is going to have autism. And certainly there are ways to reverse this. Fortunately, there's some exciting new things, but they weren't available. And many of these children, of course, would be damaged for life. There are treatments, effective treatments, coming down the line for autism, but every child is not the same. Certain children will get the reactions that they cannot deal with autism, the glutathione levels a function doesn't work, and so basically this is why we see not every child developing it. Certainly if we did, well, it would be even a greater disaster, but I am concerned when one to every 60 or 70 boys in the United States is autistic, their lives have been shattered, and almost every single one of them has taken their vaccination. And we know that the government knows what's going on because of the congressional hearings, which were totally suppressed by the mass media, and because of the Simpsonwood report you can get on the Internet. And if you want to get the congressional hearings, we can provide that to my ministry. But the Simpsonwood report was a secret CDC meeting held in Simpsonwood, Georgia, back in the year 2000, where they got all the experts together from the CDC and the World Health Organization and the vaccine manufacturers to discuss the dangers of thimerosal. They concluded that thimerosal was dangerous, but they could not let the doctors and the American people know. And how are they going to keep it secret? Well, basically, they put this this meeting top secret, a top secret government meeting. Fortunately, Congressman Weldon was able to force them to release a copy. It is available on the Internet. It's available through my ministry. You need to read it as you hear these people saying, well, my children are not going to take vaccines with mercury in them. But how are we going to keep the public from knowing the truth?
Okay, it's 11:32 on AM 1080 KSCO. Before we go to a commercial break, let's take a phone call from Julie in Capitola. Julie, you're on the air with Dr. Monteith and Dr. Cugnato in MZ.
Hi, this is close to my heart, too. When my son was little, I had a kind of a hippie doctor in Idaho tell me, he said, we need to discuss vaccinations for your children. He says, I don't vaccinate mine and they're healthy. And I said, oh, no, we're going to get vaccinated, because I was a military brat. And when my mom lost my record, they redid it when I was 6 years old. So I was very fair of vaccinations. So my son got all of them, and then he was really sick for the first 3 years of his life. He was on antibiotics every other month. Well, because of that, they started giving him the flu shot every year. Well, when he was 4, he started school, and the public school here, and I guess it was about 3/4 of the way through school, I had the kindergarten teacher tell me, you know, your son, he needs to be held back. And I had been going to classes with him every 3 days, 3 days a week in his kindergarten class. I was there. And I couldn't figure out why, because when he was 3 years old, he could spell his name, he could count to 30, he could write his name, full name, and then it's a long name. And all of a sudden, boom, he can't remember anything. And I look back on it now, and that's right after he got his flu vaccination. here in California.
How old is he?
He is now 15.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, one in every six children, according to the CDC, has a neurodevelopmental or a learning disability here in the United States. And I believe much of they could do the studies with the Amish children. They have the money. They refuse to do it because if they did, why they would have to admit to the American people has been a terrible mistake. What government official would ever want to admit they made a mistake? It's all, cover yourself, and retire with a good pension. And maybe if you're really good, why, you'll get a good job with the vaccine manufacturers and retire with a golden parachute. And this is how the system works. And the average doctor has no idea that the government is lying. If highly placed government officials are lying, there have been people who've come forward in the government to tell the truth. They've paid a terrible price. Dr. Bonnie Dunbar was a professor in the East. She spoke at a major university, vaccinologist. She spoke out against the hepatitis B vaccine, which is a very dangerous vaccine. They give to every infant in the hospital before they leave for absolutely no medical reason. When she spoke out against this, she had her life threatened. She actually was forced to leave this country. She went to Africa, lives in Kenya. They bought the farm where the motion picture Out of Africa was filmed. And she was at the meeting we attended this last weekend back in Reston, Virginia. And she's still trying to get the truth out. The fact that the vaccination they give in the nursery to every child, every infant before they leave, and they do it there because they have the child and you sign a consent when you go in, whether you know it or not, so they can give them a potentially very dangerous vaccine without any medical justification. But boy, it's sure profitable.
When my daughter was little, he's about 5 years older than her. I started watching him. And I was getting paranoid because I didn't know what was going on. So my daughter got all the vaccinations up until she was 2. And that's when I said, I'm done. This is it. She's got the important ones. She got the polio. I mean, she did the, but you know, I don't really want to do any other vaccinations for either of my children. My son, when he was in third grade, I had my physician go with me and talk to the school here in SoCal, and they said, he told them he was a high-functioning autistic child, and they said, no, he's not. They didn't want to test him. You know, I had five teachers tell me they couldn't teach him anything. He's a brilliant child. And that's just not me talking. He's really, really, really smart.
Right. Okay, well, we appreciate your phone call to the Saturday special, and hope you'll continue to listen. Thank you, Julie, for adding to the program. If you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. I do have the email up. We'll read a few of them right after this commercial break. So I think we're ready, Nikki, and we'll be back right after this. So
the San Jose Sharks are back on the air on KOMY, and this Monday morning, we are going to have some tickets for you to win to go see the Sharks at the Tank Monday night. Dan Heatley just got a hat trick in the last game that they played and 2 assists, and the Sharks are going to kick some you-know-what this season. So tune in Monday morning to Good Morning Monterey Bay, just after the Sports Pub and Grill. We'll have tickets for you to see the Sharks at the Tank, 18 rows from the ice, awesome seats. Be ready for the fun. We're going to get the Coyotes.
If you know someone needing expensive medical or dental care, please tell them to consider a quick trip to Costa Rica as a medical tourist. The savings can be huge, even after travel expenses, and it's a great place to enjoy a vacation. Costa Rica is a world-renowned medical destination because it's close, quick, safe, and provides high-quality health care at an affordable price. We operate a B&B that specializes in helping medical and dental tourists. We can answer your questions and manage all the logistics of your trip. To learn more about medical tourism in Costa Rica, call 877-410-1944 or visit meridine.com on the web. That's 877-410-1944 or meridine.com.
MARIDEAN.com.
Hi folks, Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. I thought I'd share a few statistics with you. Do you know how long a frog can hold its breath? It averages around 4 minutes. What's the pH content of soil supposed to be? It's around 6.5. When you look at a bag of fertilizer, it has three numbers on it. What's the first number represent? That would be nitrogen. Do you know how many nails the average roof requires? 7,000. How many gallons of water does it take to wash your clothes in a year? 2,000 gallons. A pound of wood has how many BTUs in it? That would be 8,600. Do you know where Ceres, California is? It's 127 miles from Santa Cruz. What's the percentage of roofing companies in the United States that will be out of business after they've installed a roof? Believe it or not, it's 80%. Here at Knox Roofing, we have information for you you just can't get anywhere else. Okay, give us a call at 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
People often ask, how does Palace Art and Office Supply manage to stay in business for so many years? Hi, I'm Roy Trowbridge of the family-owned Palace Art and Office Supply.
By giving our customers what they want. Hello, I'm Frank Trowbridge. And how do we know what they want?
We ask them. I'm Gary Trowbridge. Listen to some of the great prices Palace has that you, our customers, have asked for.
For your business, every day, low, low prices on the office supplies you need most, like Aspen 100% recycled copy or printer paper, $5.99 per ream. 1/3 cut letter size file folders or 1/5 cut hanging folders, $5.99 a box. HP and Epson printer cartridges at the lowest prices in town. Pens, pencils, and rollerball writers, try them before you buy them.
If we don't have something in stock, we'd love to get it for you.
All you have to do is stop by or call and ask.
And that's how we hope to serve you for another 60 years at Palace Art and Off Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
A proud member of the Think Local First business community.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
What kind of bumper music is that? What's going on here? Have you taken a leave of your senses, Nicky James?
Oh, it's an 80s song.
Oh, okay.
Pure Energy.
All right. Well, we're in the, we're in the closing 17 and a half minutes of our Saturday flu vaccine special. And if you want to call us, now is the time, 479-1080 in area 831. And I told you we were going to read some emails. Let's do that. I know we have Tammy in Boulder Creek and Dave Allen on the line here, but I got to do what I said I was going to do here. Let's see. First of all, I want to thank Celeste Friedman, who's Charlie Friedman's wife, for providing KSCO with access to Dr. Lynn Cunyado. As I said earlier, I'm blown away by how difficult it was to find anybody who would take the time to come on and speak in favor of vaccines, but. Celeste heard the call and got in touch with from her vast list of physicians. By the way, Celeste is a foreign physician consultant with the Sacramento law firm of Mike Tracy. So, again, thank you, Celeste. We appreciate your help here, because we would have had a pretty one-sided program, I think, if it wasn't for Celeste finding Dr. Lynn here for us. So anyhow, but by the way, Dr. Lynn, we should bring Dr. Lynn back on. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Okay, great. All right, now let's see. We have some people who have, at least one or two people who have written emails, and there are other people who have written who are not happy with you, Dr. Lynn. If you don't mind, I'm going to read them here. They don't, I mean, they don't cuss or anything like that. So, but then there are some here that I think are, well, here, let's just do this. Ms. Cagnotto, the pediatrician. This is from Reggie. Reggie? Which Reggie? It just says ReggieCS at PacBell.net. This pediatrician is giving out misinformation and showing very poor thinking. First of all, viruses are not alive, so you can't have a killed virus. What?
Oh, my God.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, first of all, Dr. Lynn, of course there's live viruses. There are live ones and there are dead ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just means that the virus ability to affect a disease on one person is either active or inactive. That's what it means.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. But Reggie says very clearly here, first of all, viruses are not alive in great big letters, so you can't have a killed virus. Second, when she said that because you haven't had the flu for the 20 years that you have taken the shot, that proves that the shot is effective. She's demonstrating a very common error of logic. That is not proof. I have not gotten the flu for 20 years either, but I have not had a single flu shot. So whatever has kept me from getting the flu shot could be the same thing that has kept you well. You only have proof when there is no other explanation. She should know better. That's from Reggie. Okay, Reggie.
Yeah, and I think that's the same thing. That same argument should be given to applied to the emergence of autism after a shot.
Uh-huh.
That people are saying that autism is directly linked to the vaccines or even the flu vaccine.
Well, it would seem. But in any case, here, that so much for that email from Reggie. Here's one from Neil Toland.
Could I quickly comment on that? If it happened just one time, one parent said, my child was perfectly normal until I had the shot. But we hear this story so often. It was that day. It was the next day. I've heard this story 100 times, and I'm sure there are tens of thousands with exactly the same story, to the point where you might think there might be some relationship, but we know they know there's a relationship because we've read their secret report, the Simpson Wood Report. It's available on the Internet. That's the Simpson Wood Report. And also, of course, we have the congressional hearings. All of these have been carefully suppressed, and, of course, they do everything they say. Well, just because, you know, somebody was hit by an automobile and taken to the hospital and died, that doesn't mean that the being hit by the automobile caused their death. Just because they were shot and went to the hospital and were treated, they died, doesn't mean the shot actually killed them.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, but you're being logical, and we can always say, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. And unfortunately, a logic would tell you, if you hear the same story over and over and over again, you ought to at least think of that as a possibility. But the average doctor, and I sympathize because I was a doctor and I believed in vaccines, and I thought they were one of the greatest accomplishments of all time.
Until
and they
when?
Are.
Did you believe in vaccines when I first knew you in 1968?
Yes, I did.
Wow. So what happened and at what time did it happen?
Only recently as I've had time
only
to
recently,
think.
Really?
Really, when I could really begin to think about this and then do the background. And actually, I've read all of the information put out by the vaccine manufacturers for this vaccine, and they will tell you they don't even know how they work. They at least talk about the nasal flu vaccine, the immunogen that's putting out the nasal flu vaccine says, we don't know how it works, but we know it works.
Oh, boy. All right, here's from Neil Toland, that's an email. It says, hey, Mike, one, I still don't see a direct correlation between vaccines and autism. Could the increased number of autistic cases be due to a lot of doctors diagnosing the disease more?
Certainly.
I have heard that the parameters for what is considered autism have grown. Could it be hereditary? Could it be due to diet? And number two, I have heard there are vaccines that do not contain metals. Is that true? Thanks, Neil and Seascape. So, Dr. Cagnato, have any comments on that?
Yeah, certainly probably the increase in autism can be attributed to how the doctors are picking autistic cases earlier and more effectively compared to 10 years ago. So that definitely is a big problem. Now, again, I would advocate that cause of autism is multifactorial, and I would not say that it is from the vaccine.
All right, if I could comment. First of all, Karen had called in earlier. She taught disabled children, and she commented that initially when she was in this field, she didn't see the autistic children. And then when she came back after having had her children, suddenly it was epidemic. If you go into the nursing homes across America, the older people look for the autistic older people, and there aren't any. It didn't exist. Doctors were looking for it, 30 years ago, and the incidence was 2.2 per 10,000. The CDC uses this argument saying, oh, it's simply because we're looking for it now. Actually, we have a method of actually reporting here in California where we actually can chart the rapid increase in the incidence of autism, and certainly within the last 2 weeks, it's jumped from 1 in 160 to 1 in 100. But you see, if you want to say, well, vaccines are safe, why, autism's always been here, no. It is a great human tragedy to the point where, because the disease is five times as common in boys, between 1 in 50 and 1 in 60 American boys today, it will be crippled for life mentally. We've got to be objective. It doesn't matter to defend our turf. We've got to be concerned about the children. And if you're concerned about children, you're going to be concerned about the rapid rise of allergy in children, of asthma in children, of autoimmune disease in children, the rapid rise in shaken baby syndrome. We didn't see that when I went to medical school. Suddenly SIDS was very, very rare. In fact, in Japan, where they've actually delayed the onset of vaccination to 2 years of age, there's been a dramatic decrease in the incidence of sudden infant death syndrome. All the evidence is there. It's hard to convince doctors who really are concerned that they might possibly be harming a child. No rational doctor would ever want to harm a child. Unfortunately, there are people in...
It's what they're taught.
Of course they're taught.
By the pharmaceutical companies that endow the medical schools.
Absolutely, and there are billions of dollars at stake.
Dr. Cagnato, do you think I'm saying something that doesn't make sense?
No, of course not. Even I agree with Dr. The opposing side always makes sense to me, and I certainly respect the opinion.
Okay, here is, now Lisa Owens is extremely upset. She sent me an email. Woman doctor is ignorant of the facts. MZ, listening to the propaganda and outright lies that the woman doctor is regurgitating on the show today makes me want to jump through the radio and flog her.
That's unfair. I mean, I'm certain that the doctor believes everything she's saying.
And I'm sure she's
concerned about children. It just takes a little while to sit back and say, could I be wrong? I've been wrong on many things through the years. I will openly admit it.
Give us an example.
I was wrong about the AIDS epidemic initially. I didn't realize it was being used for population control. I did not want to believe that. I refused to believe it. It took me a long time to begin to realize that we did not...
Is that what eugenics is all about?
It's all about eugenics. There really are people who believe there are too many people in the world. But that's a whole different subject. I don't want to get... Right. I don't want to open another can of worms.
Right. Well,
we got enough worms for today.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, to finish this nasty email, I don't know why Lisa seems to is so rabid here, but it says, it's like saying, my uncle just bashed me upside the head with a baseball bat, and now I have a giant lump on my head, but there was no proof that it was caused by the bat. That's sort of like what you were saying earlier. Does she really think that she can get away with that nonsense anymore? She sickens me to the core of my being. the world is awakening, and they, quote, the parentheses, the powers that were, are running scared. God bless Dr. Monteith, who is actually telling the truth, and that's Lisa. Okay, Lisa, well, you have a fan here, Dr. Monteith.
Well, Lisa is one.
And you don't, Dr. Lynn.
But... Yeah, I certainly, I had a smile on my face when I heard that.
Okay, good. Now,
everyone,
let's see here.
Is really entitled to an opinion.
Oh, okay. But this is presumed the views are similar. Okay, well, I guess I can read this here. Yeah, this is very interesting, provided to me by my friend Dr. Cummins here. MZ, I have not heard Stan on the subject, but presume that his views are similar to Alex Jones. The infectious disease people in town probably have positions that correspond to the Fed's recommendations. Nan Mankiewicz, MD, now CEO at Dominican, and Tom Dietz, Santa Cruz Clinic. But I doubt if they would be willing to tackle Dr. Stan. Nan maybe I shouldn't be reading this. It came to me right during the program. Okay, sorry, Larimore, if I read something I shouldn't have read that was sent to me. But here is the CDC's list under conditions of limited vaccine availability. And then it gives a link here. Pregnant women, persons who live with or provide care for infants aged less than 6 months, for example, parents, siblings, and daycare providers, healthcare and emergency medical services personnel who have direct contact with patients or infectious material, children aged 6 months to 4 years, and children and adolescents aged 5 to 18 years who have medical conditions that put them at higher risk for influenza-related complications. There's some really great information and links here that Dr. Cummins has sent to me here that I will forward if anybody's interested. mz@ksco.com. So let's see here. We've got 5 minutes or fewer than 5 minutes left to the radio program here. So why don't we use them to go back to the phone. Tammy, you've been waiting for a while. Please keep it quick.
Hey, thank you. I want to recommend a couple of books, The Shot in the Dark and also The Immunization Decision. It has a lot of anecdotal, direct evidence of parents who were doctors and nurses who gave their kids shots and then had terrible reactions that they report about it. Anyway, there's so many things on this point, but I think that it is eugenics and that this is separating the wheat from the chaff. Those of us that don't get sick from the disease will end up getting sick from the immunization. I think the immunization has far more reaching effects in terms of genetics. I think that it will affect the next generation dramatically. I feel that Connection Magazine was on point. I wanted to ask Dr. Stan Monteith, could you please comment on their assertion that this is possibly very likely a genetically engineered disease because it contains the SARS virus as well as the 1918 virus? And two Eurasian viruses, swine flu, and also...
Oy vey!
How do you get rid of... Yeah,
another 2 hours.
No, that's just like, how do they put all those things together? We just recently dug up the 1918 flu victims to see if that's what they really died from, and then boom, we suddenly get this 1918 flu thing. And I'm also how to get rid of heavy metals, because I do have a child who was severely injured.
First of all, you've opened even a larger can of worms. I believe that there is a great deal of evidence. There's a fellow named Michael Whitney. He's an investigative reporter who has written about, he thinks this is a genetically, now we're talking about H1N1, genetically engineered because it has components from a North American bird and North American swine flu influenza and an Asian swine flu influenza and certainly a human influenza. And he's been contacted by scientists who tell him that there are markers that says this is engineered, but it does not have any component certainly of the 1918 flu. So there's a lot of disinformation out there that, of course, really, of course, is designed to confuse us. Don't believe everything you read. Call me at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know about what to do if you have an autistic child, there are some exciting new treatments, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Okay. Dave Allen. Thank you, Tammy. Dave Allen, you're on. Quick.
Hey, talk about the best government and medical industry corporate money could buy. Also, I have a senior friend in Arizona who's a visiting nurse. She got a letter from Homeland Security demanding and telling her she will get the flu shot and lose her medical license. How's that?
Well, we've heard lots of stories about that, Dave. You know, doesn't seem
my
right.
My cousin's babe was perfectly normal. He got the flu shot within hours. He's permanently autistic. Okay. He's only a year younger than my son.
Wow. Okay, Dave, thank you very much. Got one other caller, Jim in Seaside. Jim, go.
Hey, real quick. You had an email a little bit ago about some guy who said viruses are not alive.
Yeah.
In fact, they aren't. They are have no metabolism of their own and cannot reproduce or have any life functions until they enter a host cell and direct that cell to do whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, I wish there was more time to talk about this, but there's not. Want to thank you for your call. Want to thank Dr. Stan. Want to thank Dr. Lynn. And thank the audience and thank Celeste here for helping us fill out the program here. Hope it's been a pleasant experience for you, Dr. Cagnato, Dr. Lynn.
And yeah, it's certainly an eye-opener for me that so much disinformation campaign is out there against the vaccine.
Right.
And I thank you for the experience.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Stan.
That's all.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
A hostage standoff in Pakistan where militants stormed the Rawalpindi headquarters of Pakistan's army this morning. 10 dead from both sides in that attack. 4 or 5 assailants now believed holding 10 to 15 people captive inside the building.
This is mainly because the government here and the army has announced there's an upcoming offensive on their focal point, on their base, so we can draw the connection that that's why we've seen these stepped up attacks.
Fox's Scott Heidler in Pakistan. The Obama administration has been encouraging Pakistan to take more action against Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants, who also perform cross-border operations into Afghanistan to oppose NATO and the U.S. military there. President Obama keeping up his health care reform push, using his weekly address to present a snapshot of where things stand, including praise for the Senate Finance Committee bill and for the overall status of the efforts.
What's remarkable is not that we've had a spirited debate about health insurance reform, but the unprecedented consensus that has come together behind it. This consensus encompasses everyone from doctors and nurses to hospitals and drug manufacturers.
But the president also tweaked congressional Republicans, who he said are trying to score political points in the face of an unsustainable status quo. For the Republicans, it was Florida Senator George Lemieux, newly appointed by the governor there, to fill the seat of the abruptly retired Mel Martinez. Lemieux begged to differ with the Obama suggestion of GOP obstructionism.
Republicans in Congress are willing to work toward targeted steps to broaden health care access and affordability. But we should take some more time, get it right, rather than moving quickly and get it wrong.
Lemieux says there are problems with the health care system, but that the solution shouldn't be worse than the problem. Cold temperatures and a thin layer of snow on Denver's Coors Field have forced postponement of the third major league playoff game between the Phillies and the Rockies. That'll be played tomorrow. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman. Only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
In Zurich, Switzerland, diplomats and other onlookers applauding the foreign ministers of Turkey and Armenia, who signed an accord establishing the first ever diplomatic relations between those countries. Armenia accuses Turkey of genocide and the deaths of 1.5 million Armenians during World War I. Turkey's never admitted this, but this accord sets up a panel to examine historical records and archives. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on hand, ironing out some last-minute problems that held up the signing ceremony for an hour and a half. Iowa in a recessionary cash crunch to the tune of more than $400 million, implementing a 10% across-the-board budget cut.
The cause of the cut is familiar in every state. Money coming in from state taxes is down because the economy is down. Slicing more than a half billion dollars from the state budget, more than half of that from education, means there will be plenty of pain to go around in schools, in state programs,
and yes, there will be layoffs. Now, if you don't live in Iowa and wondering why you should care, here's the reason. Iowa is one of just 48 states all running budget shortfalls, all going through the same tough choices. And next year looks like it will be worse.
Fox's Steve Brown in Des Moines. In Iraq, as the American presence and influence slowly wane, the population is focusing on its own government when lodging grievances.
About 200 demonstrators in Baghdad protesting the lack of public services, chanting no water, no electricity in the country of oil. The slow pace of reconstruction could become a key issue in January's national elections. In two mainly Shiite provinces to the south, hundreds rallied calling for more transparency during the elections. They are unhappy with a proposal to list only the parties on the ballot and not the candidates' names. In Baghdad, Melanie Wilkes, Fox News Radio.
On the eve of a major gay rights rally in Washington, President Obama is speaking to the nation's largest gay rights group, the Human Rights Campaign, at a fundraising dinner tonight. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I got your Central Coast forecast for this weekend. Today we have partly cloudy skies, high of 69, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, and tonight clear to partly cloudy with a low of 47 and light winds. On Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 65, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 feet at 9 seconds, and patchy fog. Tonight, west winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming southwest after midnight, wind waves less than 2 feet, and a swell of less than 2 feet. On Sunday, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind